Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I liked the idea of being perceived as myself instead of being sexualized. Because okay, I feel like in the Western world, especially, I mean, it's a very, very broad topic, but going into, you know, like capitalism and socialism and how women are sexualized for the eyes of men. And so I do not want to be like a part of that. I want to keep myself to me.
It is truly enlightening to explore the diverse perspectives of hijabi women and how they relate to their experiences with the hijab, shaped by their geographical backgrounds and upbringing. Personally, my journey with the hijab has predominantly unfolded in the heart of Texas, known for its conservative and southern culture. Yet today, we have the privilege of delving into the stories of hijabi women from London, each with unique narratives about their journey to embracing the hijab and how their Muslim identities have been influenced by their distinct locations within London, be it the vibrant East Side or the cosmopolitan West Side, while also cherishing their individual beliefs. Let's tune in to the episode.
So, where do you live in London?
I live in Southwest London. Yeah, I've lived there for about 10, 11 years now.
Yeah.
I think over 10, 11 years. Do you want me to talk about, like...
Yeah, you can talk about, like, how like Muslim, how is it living there, like...
So, where I live specifically,
there's
a huge community of, like, Pakistani Muslims.
Yeah.
Even though they're a different, I guess, like, belief.
Yeah.
Like, slightly different.
The Ahmadiyyas.
Yeah, so they're different. I was still able to kind of see a lot of hijabi representation in schools and it's like from my teachers and just around me in general, locally, which was great growing up.
So it wasn't like like me living in South London was very different because like I went to a different school, so it was like very Western, like white, white, very white, non-hijabis at all. But it was different for you because you went to like a different school.
Yeah, I mean my school was like major, like I was probably at some point I was the only hijabi.
Okay, yeah.
Out, and then there was like one other hijabi, which she wasn't too practicing. She would sometimes not wear it and sometimes wear it. So it was like a...
That's interesting.
She was on a different journey, I guess.
Yeah.
So there had been times where I was the only hijabi, but I guess because I started wearing it at such a young age, because I was like 12, I think 12, 13, that kind of became a part of me and it wasn't something that I picked apart. Like, it just, when it becomes a piece of you, you kind of just accept it.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I was to wear it a bit later on in life, I would have reacted differently to it. Because when you're growing, you're still, I think, like mentally developing and have growing that confidence. And so when it becomes a part of you initially, then it helps in those ways.
Like growing. Yeah, with it. That makes sense. What about you, Soma?
I'm from East London.
Yeah.
as you may know, East London is filled with Asians, and there's like hijabis everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the hijab and, you know, the Muslim identity, it's very easy to be a Muslim in East London.
Yeah.
And so growing up, I didn't wear the hijab.
Oh, really?
Contrary to a lot of other hijabis.
Yeah.
I started wearing it roughly around in year 10 or year 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore it because, you know, I felt ready.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seeing around me, like, the community, the Muslim community, was really nice to see. And it's a very nice area for Muslims, because you can express yourself, be yourself, and dress the way you want to dress, you know.
Yeah.
And you won't be judged, because there's so many Muslims in the community that it's very easy to be yourself.
Cool.
I'm from central London, and I've lived there my entire life, so I'm literally born and raised there, and I'm still living there. In terms of, like, my area specifically, it's very the people who live in my area, they're mainly Bengali, so like Muslims obviously, but like central London in general is very diverse, so I see a mix of everyone. I feel like I see like all ethnicities, I see lots of different religions, but in my area specifically is Bengali, so it was mainly a lot of Muslims.
Yeah.
So I was like growing up in an environment where I saw like so many Muslim women wearing the hijab, but then at the same time I saw like non-Muslims as well.
Yeah.
In like particularly like my school kind of life.
Yeah.
I obviously went to like a Church of England school, a majority white school,
and
there was literally like three hijabis in my year,
And
we were all in different classes as well. So I was literally the only hijabi in my class.
Yeah.
So it was a bit difficult to obviously, you know, wear the hijab during school and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I started wearing the hijab when I was like 11, 12 years old.
Okay.
So I was quite young when I started as well.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of people around me who were wearing the hijab.
Mm-hmm.
But because I saw, you know, obviously like my family, people around me in my area who like wear the hijab, and so many Muslims who are like wearing this veil.
Yeah.
It kind of like inspired me to obviously wear it from like such a young age.
Yeah.
And even though I went to a school where it was literally majority white people, that didn't really impact like my kind of opinions on the hijab. I still like stuck to wearing it, and I still am wearing it till this current day.
Nice, that's really good. Yeah, so we've like understood like each other's understandings of like our hijab journey and where we are now, and I feel like we all came from like different areas, which is really interesting. Yeah, so I guess, how would you guys, like, define hijab?
Me, personally? When I first started wearing it, I don't think I understood the true meaning of it. It was more of just because of attending Islamic schools, like, you know, every Saturday. And also because of, like, where I come from ethnically. Since I'm Turkish and I've lived in Turkey the first, you know, few years of my life, that it's always been a part of me.
Yeah.
I've seen it, like, my moms and my aunties and family members always, you know, practicing hijab. So it wasn't something, you know, like, I guess I had to know the meaning of. It was just a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it kind of started.
Yeah.
And as I grew older, I have struggled, because as you grow older, I feel like, especially in the Western world, there's so many trends, and in schools, it's so easy to be influenced by, you know, those kind of things that, especially, like, with your friends and what people are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been times where I wanted to, like, you know, take a part of it, but I can't do that because
it's a part.
You're different,
yeah.
You know, as Muslim women, like, we're very different. And another thing is that growing up, I had to always be a specific way, because when people look at me, they don't see me as a girl, they see me as a Muslim girl.
Mm.
Because obviously when you wear the hijab, you are showing everyone else what you represent.
Yes, definitely.
And so, yeah, that was, you know, what it was. And then as I grew older, I kind of learned more meaning to it, and I liked the idea of being perceived as myself instead of being sexualized. Because I feel like in the Western world, especially, I mean, it's a very, very broad topic, but going into, you know, like capitalism and socialism and how women are sexualized for the eyes of men. And so I do not want to be like a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep myself to me only. Yeah. And another reason is that obviously God has told us to, so it's an obligation as a Muslim woman, especially practicing,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, wear the hijab.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Do you feel like that's like a, there's like this term called like an, you're like intersectional. So intersection is like two identities that come together. Do you feel like you're a, what, do you feel like you have two identities?
I feel, yeah, I don't think there's like one side to this because obviously growing up you change a lot and you learn a lot more. So when I first started wearing the hijab, I don't think I knew the meaning of it. I think I just did it because of culture, more of culture. Because obviously in our cultures, you know, we have that. And it was never forced. And initially, actually, my mum was against it because I was still, you know, 12, 13, and I could have waited a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And she was scared that I would be, you know, a victim of racism.
Okay.
So
Islamophobia.
So, yeah, because of that, she was like, wait, you know, a couple years more until you're grown older.
Yeah.
But my dad and, you know, everyone else was quite supportive. So I just went for it on, like, a random day. Literally, I just kept it on. It was, like, a Wednesday. And I turned up to school, like, then everyone was, like... I've actually had friends be, like, take it off. It doesn't look
really
good. Yeah.
Wow.
I had a lot of white European...
Wow.
Friends that were, literally was, like, take it off. It doesn't look good.
Was that their reason why?
Yeah, just because it didn't look good. And this was, like, year 9, but I was, like,
damn.
I'm not wearing it because it looks good, you know? It's just me.
Wow.
So, but I had, like, a few teachers who, you know, sat down with me.
Yeah.
One of them especially was one of my favourite teachers. He sat down and he was, like, oh, like, why did you do this? You know, as in, he just wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just kindly, you know, just curious. And he was very kind and understanding. And he really did, like, listen to me. And I feel like that kind of made me feel better as well. Because
that's good.
Even though there were people who weren't accepting, there were people who were willing to listen and understand your point of view.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Wow, it's really interesting. What about you guys? Well, if Sada, if you want to go, that's fine.
Yeah, so I agree with what Amina was saying.
Yeah.
I feel like even when I was younger as well, when I started wearing the hijab, I didn't really know the true meaning of it. It was just like, you know, I was told this is an obligation from Islam.
Yeah.
That women have to wear it. I wasn't forced to wear it. It was obviously my choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like one difference between me and you is like my mom, on the other hand, she wanted me to. She was eager for me to wear it from a young age.
Yeah.
Because she would tell me that it would actually be easier for me to kind of fit into society and wear it from a young age.
Yeah.
As opposed to like wearing it when I'm a lot more older and I see like girls around me, kind of a lot of girls who don't wear, obviously, that might influence me.
Yeah.
So like I was advised that it would be easier for me to actually start wearing the hijab like when I started secondary school.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is like a new kind of fresh beginning. And obviously at that like age, like you're that's the peak of like your growth, I feel like. That's when you're developing the most.
Definitely.
Like psychologically, mentally, everything wise, I guess, physically as well. But yeah, I feel like as I'm growing older now and as I'm like studying Islam and really understanding the true meaning of the hijab, obviously the hijab is, I believe it's literally part of my identity.
Yeah.
It's a big part of my identity. And like obviously because I'm living in a Western society, I do obviously, well, even though I personally just identify myself as a Muslim, if someone asked me how you identify yourself, I wouldn't say I'm a British Muslim or this, that. I would just identify myself as a Muslim.
Yeah.
And the hijab obviously plays a big role in that.
Yeah.
Because it literally shows people that I am a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, I think obviously London is such a diverse city where there's so many different religions, so many different beliefs. It's like important for me to show like who I am,
and
definitely. I want to like definitely present myself as a Muslim.
Absolutely, yeah. What about you, so you don't, if you don't have anything, it's fine.
No, I agree with them. I started wearing the I went to Islamic school, as in I would, after my normal primary school, I would go to
like madrasa.
Yeah. And so I from the age of five, I would wear that, not the age of five, sorry, around 11, 12-ish, I would go wear the hijab and then go to madrasa. And it was just such a norm. Like, it was just something you put on. And at that time, I didn't really understand the meaning of the hijab.
Yeah.
I didn't get why we wore it. I just knew we wear it when we
go to the mosque.
When we're going to the mosque, essentially. And I just saw my sister wearing it, my mum wearing it. My mum is a niqabi, so she wears a niqab as well.
Yeah.
And my whole family is majority of them wear the hijab, so it's just something that I've grown up around and witnessed. And then in year 10, I reached the age of maturity, and so I was told it would be nice to wear the hijab, and I did wear it. I wasn't forced. It was just, you know, like an obligation of Islam. However, I didn't feel connected to it. You know, there was no connection. I just wore it because it felt like it was the right thing to do. Everyone else was wearing it. So I wore it, but I didn't understand the meaning of it. And I think it was an on and off thing. So I wear it sometimes, take it off, wear it, take it off. And it took a lot of years of actually realizing that, you know, the more I learned about Islam, the more I could understand why we wear the hijab. And so the only reason I knew what the hijab was for was delving into Islam. And so my bond with the hijab has become really strong because I've realized that the hijab isn't just to preserve your beauty. It's also a way to, as Sadia said, show your identity to people, to be different from the rest. You know, Islam is like not standing out, but showing them you're a Muslim, and this is what separates us from everyone that's not Muslim. And it's our one way to show people that, you know, Islam is a beautiful religion. By me identifying as a hijabi Muslim, when I'm treating someone nicely, they would think, oh, Islam isn't such a bad religion, you know, and they might be interested in the religion and researching it further. So the hijab isn't just a way for me to show people that I'm Muslim, it's also a way for me to kind of influence people into showing them what Islam means, you know, what the true beauty of Islam, and they can see that through my actions. So right now my connection with hijab is more than just a physical thing. It's more with it's more emotional, and it has a lot of meaning, not just for me but for the people that see me wearing it.
Very beautiful. That was very beautiful, guys. Wow. What did you want to say? Of course. I mean,
so I think a whole part of like that, just being a visible Muslim, is as well the sisterhood, I feel like. So in a lot of ways, we're very different from other people, and so we could feel, I guess, lonely and secluded and like, you know, in society. But having, like, when you're outside and you see another Muslim woman, you know, hijabi, it's so easy to feel comfort in their presence, because you know that she's gone through the same things you have in some ways, and so you have similar experiences and you believe in the same thing. So having that, you know, there around you is amazing. Especially like us, like our young age, most of us maybe wouldn't have worn it if we didn't have those kind of influences around us. And so now that we're older, I try my best to, like, I'm not obviously perfect, but it's nice to have that influence towards others, because I see young girls sometimes, you know, they will just say salam alaikum, you know, like little kids. And so it's nice that they probably see us the way we used to see others around us. Because, like, you know, they used to influence us, and now we influence the next generation of Muslim women. And that connection that you have, you know, like, you go somewhere and you see a hijabi woman, you know that she's going to be supportive. And then there's always, you know, the saying salam alaikum, you know, giving them, you know, saying hi and things like that. I think it brings, like, the community together as well. And like, it adds a lot to the experience, I feel like, that being together, the connection you have with other humans.
Adding on to that, I feel like the hijab also kind of, like, helps you to be on your best behavior. As it sounds, like, you always want to make sure you're portraying your best self in front of people and not on bad behavior. Like, every time you're maybe in a situation or in an altercation outside with especially a non-Muslim, you try showing your best self so that people don't get the idea that Islam is bad, you know? Because Islam is a religion of beauty and peace and love. And so wearing the hijab, we're kind of carrying the name of Islam, you know, we're showing people what Islam is truly about. So it helps you stay in track and prevents you from, you know, acting in a way that you shouldn't, and just helps you be the best version of yourself.
Absolutely, yeah, that is very true. It puts you in, like, you're displaying to everyone, I'm a Muslim, and this is how we as Muslims are. We're not vile, we're not aggressive, we're peaceful people. And I feel
like, even when you receive hate, that you choose to give love, and like just kind of following in the footsteps of the sunnah of our prophet, you know, just kind of being kind no matter what.
If you're a Muslim woman, you're likely familiar with the nail polish debate. A Turkish author from the University of Glasgow has researched this topic extensively, concluding that nail polish can represent a harmonious blend of faith and beauty for many. Embracing this perspective, Mercy Cosmetics, a US-based halal nail polish brand, offers a wide range of vegan halal certified products. They also prioritize social responsibility, pledging to donate 20% of profits to provide water to underprivileged communities. As a special offer for Journal Hijabi listeners, you can enjoy a 15% discount on your entire order by visiting mercycosmetics.com/journalhijabi or using the code JOURNALHIJABI in all caps, no spaces, at checkout. That's mercycosmetics.com/journalhijabi. Mercy, M-E-R-S-I, cosmetics.com/journalhijabi or using the code Journal Hijabi at checkout. Join Mercy Cosmetics in celebrating the joy of nail polish without compromising your values.
And it does, honestly, it does really, like, keep you on track because it is not just, I mean, like she said, like, hijab is not just, you know, what you wear, but it's also the way you treat people and the way you, you know, act.
Yeah.
And the way you walk and the way you carry yourself.
Definitely.
You're a lot more careful. And, like, even me, I feel like personally, when I'm not observing the hijab perfectly to the point I should, because obviously I feel like sometimes we struggle and sometimes we don't dress as modestly as we should. When I see other Muslim women who have dressed modestly, I feel embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I feel embarrassed, and I have the embarrassment, and I think, like, oh, like, I should do better, I should be better.
Mm-hmm.
So even, you know, hijab does actually push you to become a better version of yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. And do you guys feel like you have a duty as hijabi women to, like, be the best versions of what Islam and who you are as a hijab woman, to portray to, like, society that how, like, the rhetoric that the West already has of hijab? Do you feel like you have that duty?
I feel like a lot of the times when people look at us, they might look at us and think, oh, she's probably forced by her parents or by her culture or whatever it is, but they don't realize that it's actually a lot more freeing than they think, because in the West, they have normalized that sexualizing yourself is freedom, when in reality, it does not bring any kind of positive thing towards the woman, because the only thing it truly benefits is the eyes of men. And so they, by doing this, by sexualizing women, they do capitalize off of it. They make a lot of money through, let's just say, makeup and, you know, loads of other things, and, like, fashion trends and those kind of things. They do capitalize off the insecurities of women, which are caused by sexualization of them. And so when you're a hijabi woman, and if, let's say, in a society, like, most women observe the hijab, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't look at a woman and think of less of yourself because you don't have that body, you don't have that face, you don't have that whatever it is. And so I feel like it would make women more comfortable and more confident in themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas we all, even though we're hijabis, we all do live in a society where, you know, those kind of things are constantly thrown at us.
Yeah.
And so even as a woman who observes the hijab, you still feel sexualized because you're still a woman and you're still kind of under the influence of, you know, the media and I guess you guys know what I'm trying to say, but I can't word it perfectly.
No, you articulated it very nicely.
So yeah.
Adding on to that point, the whole idea of like fashion. I think it's really weird how the West has this idea that the hijab is oppressing.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing a woman can wear. You know, to be free, a woman must show her cleavage, show her hair, and, you know, that's how she is free.
Yeah.
But if you look at the modeling industry, for example, they are also wearing things that represent the hijab and labeling it as freedom and fashion. But when someone does it out of choice, it is suddenly oppression.
Yeah.
And the fact that many Muslims have come out and said the hijab is their freedom, and yet the rhetoric of hijab as an oppression is still out there and still being pushed, it's weird to say that there isn't why this agenda is being pushed, even though millions of people can attest to it and, you know, show the beauty of the hijab and why they chose to wear it. And time and time again, people are being told that no, they're not, even if you choose, you're not choosing to wear it, you're being forced. And so this rhetoric, I don't know where it's essentially coming from, but because as hijabis, you know, we've been through this hijab journey, so we would know better than the non-Muslims and those that aren't hijabis of what it feels like to be forced, if we were forced. And so them pushing this idea of the hijab as something that is being forced is kind of brainwashing, in a sense. It's brainwashing little kids. It's brainwashing. Sometimes I've even had the thought, if, you know, like, am I actually being forced? Like, is it because everyone else is doing it? Am I doing it for that? And it makes you question things.
Of course.
But when you speak to other hijabis and when you actually have that sense of community, you realize, yes, it is a choice, because there's so many people that are Muslims that don't wear it.
Yeah.
And of course there's going to be some that are forced, but then there's some that are forced into, you know, into showing their bodies, into showing their hair, and are forced to unveil themselves.
Yeah.
So that should also be talked about just as much as, you know, the hijab being forced. What about the other rhetoric? Of course, there's going to be bad sides to everything. However, for the majority, hijab is more of freedom rather than oppression. And so this rhetoric definitely needs to be questioned. And by sharing our opinions and our journeys, we hope that one day people can actually see that, you know, we're not being forced. We're actually learning to be free.
Can I add? I think the idea of Muslim women being oppressed and kind of being shown in a negative light has to do with Islam itself, and the core of Islam is the fact that in a Islamic, if we were to live in like a full-on Islamic society, because of the religion itself, that it is a socialist religion, right? So it is, it kind of gives equality to all and a balance to your life. A capitalist society will not survive off of a Muslim community. And so showing Muslim, whether it's Muslim women or just Muslims in general, in a negative light kind of helps them, because they're making us look wrong to make themselves look right, I guess, especially in the Western world. It's, you know, so I think that's why that Muslim women are shown to be oppressed and in a negative light, because they won't be able to capitalize off of us otherwise.
Definitely. It goes against the beauty standards, you know. It prevents you from comparing yourself, you know. It makes it seem like we're all one community, we're all together. You know, we're not here to verse each other, we're here to support each other, we're here for unity, we're not here to benefit off, you know, like, compare ourselves and everything. And as Amin said, the hijab is a way of going against capitalist society and and just, you know, beating everything that the West says. And I think, of course, if something doesn't match your rhetoric, you're gonna have to villainize it.
Of course.
Yeah. Just adding on to what you guys said, I feel like obviously Western society, Western media, they're obviously going to make their stereotypical assumptions about Muslims regardless. Yeah. Like they have been doing it and they are going to continue doing that.
Yeah.
And also we as Muslims, we just have to kind of, I guess, live with that, unfortunately.
Mm.
But I feel like one thing which Western society don't understand, and even the Muslim community as well, a lot of the Muslim community, they don't understand that a lot of these Muslims are actually on their own journey with the hijab and their modest wear. So it's not just like on a, it's not just like, oh, you either wear the hijab or not. There's more to it. I feel like there's so much more to it. There's a lot of people who might find it difficult to, you know, start wearing modest clothes, so they might, you know, start with, you know, maybe dressing differently and then you know, shifting to the hijab. Whereas, you know, people, other people, they might find it just easy to straight away, you know, wearing the hijab. And I just feel like not a lot of people really understand that people, like all these Muslims, they go on their own journeys. And like that's so important because everyone is different. Everyone's unique. Not everyone is the same, like we just all were speaking about. And everyone's going to kind of have their own time, I guess, when things come right to them, when things just fit to their standards, I guess. And just how like the Western society say, you know, like we have choice, like we have a choice to, you know, do this, do that, like this, that, but they're kind of neglecting us this choice. They're kind of showing that, oh, we don't have a choice, we're being forced, when in reality a lot of, we know that a lot of Muslims, most Muslims are not forced. It's our choice that we, you know, choose to dress modestly or choose to, you know, dress, wear the hijab. So just like these like different meanings that the Western society are kind of like making up, if it were like they, on the one hand they say, you know, everyone should be given choice, but not, but on the other hand they're showing like they literally,
it's like a paradox.
It's
a paradox.
It's
very interesting, and like picking your point, like it's a human right, we're like, we have a human right to exercise our religion and to live our religion and show our religion, but the societies and the governments who like ban hijab, or like even like in Iran, where they're like forcing hijab onto women, that's not giving choice.
That's an interesting point, because I think, you know, back in the olden days, everyone observed the hijab.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. Yeah. If you see like pictures from the old British society back in 500 years ago, they were observing the hijab and wearing modest wear. And nuns cover themselves fully. Yet not once have I ever heard someone saying they're being oppressed, or that they are being forced, or that they're doing something bad. Instead, they are, you know, they are looked up at as important people. They're always portrayed as important people that, you know, have the choice and that are pure, but yet the same importance and the same freedom of choice isn't given to the hijab. So it makes you wonder, is it the clothing or is it the religion that they have the issue with?
Very true.
And I think adding to like this entire thing, culture plays a huge role in it as well. I feel like a lot of the times we mix, like when it comes to forcing the hijab, right? A lot of people think, oh yeah, you'll force the hijab. It's because most cultures, they're very patriarchal, I guess, like where, you know, men are in control. Like, especially where we come from. Like me, I come from a very traditional Turkish family. And so my parents, they are practicing Muslims, but there has been many cases where they've put culture before religion. And a lot of the times, because what they've been taught growing up, I think it's wrong, but also what they practice now, it's just they can't tell the difference between religion and culture. And so I feel like when they're not educated enough with Islam, they go with what they think is right, which has been influenced by culture. And so there could be, I guess, like in other like cultures, too, you know, same as middle, I guess, Middle Eastern, Asian, South Asian, you know, African, like literally anywhere in the world. I guess these kind of cultures, they do force certain things. I feel like it's very common in a lot of, like, you know, to be truthfully. But I don't think this has much to do with religion, because as you know, we've all talked about, Islam is a peaceful and a religion of love, really. But most of this, you know, I guess force and hatred and, you know, negative things, they don't stem from Islam itself, they stem from you know, cultures because even before Islam, a lot of things were practiced where they were, you know, women weren't as important.
Yeah.
Right? Women weren't taken care of, especially like in Arab cultures.
Yeah.
When you had a daughter, they would bury them alive.
Yeah.
And so our Prophet, when our Prophet came, you know, Islam was, I guess, revealed to the world.
Yeah.
We were given rights before any other society.
Yeah.
Muslim women.
Exactly.
We had rights.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that they had only like 100, 200 years ago in England, divorce was legal. Though it was legal, it was only able to be done by men.
Yeah.
But this right was given like 500, 600 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
To Muslim women, that we had the right to divorce and we had the right to property and we had the right to, you know, a lot of things that they've only accepted in the last 100 years in the Western world.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, I feel like educating yourself with Islam really does help a lot, you know, when it comes to understanding.
Mm.
And that's why I feel like our hijab journeys, it becomes more meaningful as you grow older. Because when you're younger, you're extremely easy to influence and brainwash. And me, myself, I have been brainwashed. Even though, you know, I was practicing the hijab, I wasn't a good Muslim. There had been many times where I doubted Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually had to, as I grew older, I had to learn it all myself through practicing and learning and attending lectures and just listening to things and, you know, just reading the Quran in general and knowing the meaning of things and why we do these things. And so I feel like the whole journey, the hijab journey, has to do with your spiritual journey too and your kind of understanding of what Islam is and where it comes from and why we do this and you know, everything else that comes with it.
Yeah, nice.
And then to what you were saying about culture, I feel like it's really interesting because, you know, all these different, like, I guess, like, intersectional dynamics of, you know, religion, culture, Western ideals, everything that is in your life.
Yeah.
You can obviously, like, a lot of Muslims, they're probably confused about how to kind of identify themselves, or
exactly.
they have, like, this identity crisis
yeah.
where they don't, they might not know the middle ground as to, you know, if they, like, how should they dress? Should it be fully, you know, following Islamic principles or modesty?
Mm.
Or because they're living in a Western society, do I need to, like, kind of follow certain Western ideals to kind of show that I'm fitting in?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like all these different intersectional dynamics is interesting to consider because, again,
yeah,
it's, I guess, it's based on, again, one's self, like, own kind of individual beliefs.
Yeah.
Again, like I was saying before, like, everyone's so different, everyone's unique. Because you're Muslim doesn't mean you might just solely identify yourself as a Muslim. You might like to kind of have that Western identity as well intertwined.
Yeah, of course.
And again, the other way around as well, like, you might even though you're living in a Western society, you might not want to identify as anything else other than a Muslim woman fully show that you just identify as a Muslim woman. So yeah, I feel like all these different dynamics of, you know, like, where you live as well, like the context of where you live. Obviously, like, the UK is a very Western society where, you know, we have obviously Muslims, non-Muslims, but, like, let's just talk about maybe, like, Saudi Arabia, for example, where, like, the norm there is to wear, like, abayas and nearly, I feel like, majority of people wear the hijab there. So obviously it would be more, I feel like it'd be easier for girls to, you know, wear the hijab there and wear the abaya, whereas it'd be obviously a lot more difficult in the UK, like in a Western society context, where you're literally exposed to, you know, people wearing shorter, more revealing clothes.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like in this identity crisis where you don't really know where you put yourself in this kind of spectrum, I guess.
That is very true.
Yeah.
And I feel like even in Saudi Arabia, like, that's the Holy Land.
Yeah.
And they still, like, their identity is Muslims.
Mm.
But still, they have, like, their craziness of the West.
Yes.
No, yeah.
Their underground drinking and clubbing and concerts and all of that gambling and, like, patriarchy and, like, power and money. But they still portray themselves as Muslims. So it's, like, it's very complex.
I feel like it's very individualistic.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even matter where you live at this point anymore. It's more about your own personal beliefs and what you've what you've grown up kind of learning, how much you studied maybe your own religion.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter, like you were saying, like in Saudi Arabia, even though it's such a holy country,
yeah,
you obviously see like the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And that's growing, like as time is going on.
Yeah.
There's more people kind of like, yeah, kind of following that.
Yeah. I think this follows back to colonialism.
Yeah.
Especially in the sense of we were divided, countries were divided in such a way that it brought nothing but division between people, arguments, culture, disparages, and just the idea of different cultures being pushed into one area and other cultures being pushed out. And those lines that the British essentially built kind of created a sense of loss in identity and having to rebuild a new identity.
Mm-hmm.
And this caused a lot of issues, especially with the Muslim identity, because when people were divided, a lot of people kind of, what they used to identify with, like as in the tribes and stuff, that was kind of gone. It was now, you know, countries being named as something else.
Mm-hmm.
And this brought about so much division within people.
Yeah.
And this pushed the agenda that, you know, these countries, these names that are given to you,
yeah,
is what defines you.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, instead of defining as a Muslim, which Islam clearly tells us that we're all brothers and sisters,
yeah,
it created more division and it created a sense of confusion within people
mm-hmm.
to identify as something that was given to them by the British.
Mm.
So now people are such nationalists and choose culture over religion when their culture isn't essentially even theirs to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy to think about, because essentially, you know, religion was where it started first. You know, there was, in the beginning of time, many of the religious people believed that we weren't given a culture, we weren't given, you know, a place. We were just told, Adam alayhi salam was told that he was going to be sent to earth, and it wasn't a matter of what culture he was, what race he was, what skin color, what anything. It was just the fact that he was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we've come so far into now having to identify with skin color, having to identify with a culture, having to identify with this, that, when it should only be about being a Muslim. And this point has been pushed so many times in the Quran. However, ignorance has led to people believing that one skin color is superior to the other, and one way of doing things is superior to the other. And so essentially you have to argue how many people follow their religion in the right way that it should be followed, and are on the right path and are actual Muslims, and how many are being misled by the Western ideals that are deeply ingrained with them from generations that it has passed down, and are now kind of mixing that with their Islamic Muslim identity, which shouldn't be the case, because you shouldn't mix any identity with Islam, especially when Islam prohibits it, you know? Islam has always said that there should be nothing separating you from one another, and you should all be, there should be a, there should be a sense of unitedness between all Muslims. However, in today's society, you can see that there is many, many cases of, especially in South Asian culture, and I'm pretty sure in Turkish cultures as well, there must be a sense of division between different ethnic groups and different people. And this division is overlooked by even within religious people themselves. And so I think it dates back all the way to colonialism, and it's very hard to get rid of these deeply colonized beliefs that we all might have within us.
Yeah.
And I think the first step would be to acknowledge it and then change for future generations.
I think it's just, I think, as Muslims, we have to, like, realize, firstly, it's very difficult.
No, of course.
Because we've been...
But culture, to some extent, it does make up who you are as well. Like, because growing up, you've grown up practicing a lot of, you know, celebrations and beliefs and people and things like that. And so I understand, of course, that that a lot of people, it's hard to practice perfectly when you have those things within you, which go against the, you know, Islam, and so it's really hard to change that.
Yeah, it's very difficult to like unravel that and like come back to what the main principles of Islam is. Mm. Yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.